Information, please. For the American Armed Forces and their allies, a special rebroadcast featuring the experts. And here to ask the questions is the well-known writer and literary critic, Clifton Fadiman.
Ladies and gentlemen, Information, Please continues in its customary wayward and spontaneous manner, presenting tonight John Kieran of the New York Sun and Franklin P. Adams as its veteran experts, and as its guests, our old friend, the music critic, radio star, and composer, Deems Taylor, and the charming screen star, Miss Irene Dunn, currently visible in A Guy Named Joe and soon to appear in The White Cliffs of Dover. We're going to begin with a question that comes from Gene Collins of West Los Angeles, California. Get 2 out of 3 on these, and this is a question involving, well, part of it involves your knowledge of cooking. What element is missing in each of these situations? Suppose you're making pie crusts, and you have the following: flour, salt, baking powder, and water. What's missing? Miss Dunn?
Sugar. Butter?
What else is there? You have flour, salt, baking powder, and water. Do you need sugar and to make a pie crust?
You need shortening.
Shortening, Mr. Taylor. Very good.
Butter or lard?
But do you need butter?
I'd rather have butter than lard.
But you need one of them.
Oh, yes.
Well, then Miss Dunn's answer is equally correct.
Yes.
Well, it's nice for you to share the glory.
I was just helping
you
out.
Well, what is shortening?
I don't know. What is shortening? Butter or lard?
Well, I thought so.
Is there any... Can you use anything else for shortening besides butter
Swift's
or lard?
Swift's Cotto Suet.
Crisco.
Heaven's room. Remember your sponsor, Adams. Yes, Miss Dunn's answer and Mr. Taylor's, of course, quite right. Now, suppose you're playing in a golf tournament, and you have the following in your bag. You have 9 irons, a putter, a brassey, and a spoon. What's missing? Miss Dunn again.
I don't know whether I quite understood you, but I don't think you mentioned a driver.
I do indeed. Very good.
Oh.
You play golf, Miss Dunn?
A little.
Well, you play well enough to do well on this show.
I broke a man's jaw once with a driver. That's how I happened to know about it.
Did you really?
Yes, he was teaching me how to drive, and he stood at my left.
You broke his jaw?
Uh-huh.
How is he now?
Well, he died 2 years ago.
Happy ending.
But this was quite a while.
The life you've led, Taylor. You're making an eggnog, Miss Dunn, gentlemen, and you have sugar, water, eggs, rum, cognac, and nutmeg. What are you missing?
Guests.
Mr. Kieran?
Well, you didn't put any cream in there, did you?
Cream or...
Milk.
Yes. I think it's more patriotic to say milk, Mr. Kieran. Yes,
well, we're not going to get anyhow.
Yes. Cream or milk, that's quite right. Well, that gives us 3 out of 3. Now, try this one from L.B. Vernon of Viva, Pennsylvania. I think we should get all on this. Who is the him, that's spelled H-I-M, that is referred to in each of these quotations that I shall now read you? It's very rude of him, she said, to come and spoil the fun. Who is the him, Mr. Adams? It's very rude of him.
The walrus.
Now, you're in the right locality, but you got the wrong hymn, Mr. Kieran.
I think it's the sun, isn't it?
No. I think it's the... yes, it is the sun. That's quite right. I was thinking of the moon. The moon was shining sulkily because she thought the sun had got no business to be there after the day was done. You came a little too late, Mr. Kieran. I'll have to count that wrong. Mr. Adams threw his walrus in too quickly. How about this? Home without him ain't no home to me. Home without him ain't no home to me. Miss Dunn.
That's from a song in Jerome Kern's Showboat, isn't it?
Very good. And who is the hymn referred to, Miss Dunn? That's quite right.
My man.
Well, can you be a little more specific? That might be rather vague.
Jim.
Okay.
Bill.
Who?
Bill.
What's his whole name?
Just Bill.
Isn't it Gaylord Ravenel?
I don't think so.
In the song sung by Magnolia? I have it as...
Yes, that's right.
I have it as
that's
that.
She right. was shifting... Bill is an entirely different song. It was sung by Helen Morgan.
Sorry, the whole thing came up.
You got the...
It's from Fish Gotta Swim, Birds Gotta Fly. I gotta love one man till I die. I can't help loving that man of mine.
I love to hear you say it, but right? Still it isn't Bill. I want to get that straight.
No, it's Ravenel.
It is Ravenel, yes. Shall I count it right, Mr. Adams?
No,
count it wrong. All right. Gallant Adams. How about this? It sounds to him like her mother's voice singing in paradise. Mr. Adams.
That is from The Village Blacksmith by H.W. Longfellow.
That's absolutely right. And who is the hymn referred to? We have to miss...
The blacksmith.
Hymn referred to is The Village Blacksmith, yes. That's right. Now, that gives us only 1 out of 3. Try this one from Mrs. T.H. McIntosh of Elon College, North Carolina. Can you sing the melody?
Probably.
Can you sing the melody to which a fond farewell is bidden to the very these following people? A fond farewell is bidden to girls in what melody, in what song? Mr. Kieran.
Goodbye, girls, I'm through, and so on. That's enough.
Yeah, is that the melody, too?
Well, it's supposed to be.
It's a rough sketch.
That's right. Yeah. Do you know the song, Miss Dunn?
Da, 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 da.
Go ahead, Miss Dunn.
Girl.
Isn't
that right?
That's right.
I'm done with all flirtation.
You don't have to get any help from here.
There's one to whom I'm true.
Thank you.
Goodbye, girls. Goodbye, boys.
Goodbye,
I'm done.
Bye,
girls. No girls.
Thank you,
Miss Dunn. Miss Dunn, this is the first time I've ever had any real singing on that. That's why everybody is silent. Now, can you sing the melody to which a farewell is bidden to a table? Someone says good. Miss Dunn, do you know that?
Oh, I know that. That's from the opera Manon.
That's right. Mr. Taylor, did you know that?
Yep.
Can you sing it together? Can you sing the melody?
Not very well.
Miss Dunn, can you sing it then? Mr. Kahn will help you out with a few notes. That's very affecting, Miss Dunn. I do love it.
Why didn't you change your name from Durbin?
We've got one more fond farewell to get. Someone says or sings a farewell to a street. What street, and can you sing the melody? Oh, this is not a very hard one, really. What street is Mr. Kieran?
Goodbye to Broadway.
Yes, but I've got to hear that lovely voice of yours. Or that voice of yours, anyway.
Give my regards to Broadway.
Mr. Johnny,
remember me, Harold Square. Tell all the boys at 42nd Street that I will soon be there. Tell them how I've been yearning to mingle with the old-time throng.
Gave up, did you? What I admire particularly about this trio is the varied tempi in which you sing this song.
Well,
you think you're all right, do you, Taylor?
Well,
the standards are low on this program. Well, that gives us 3 farewells out of 3. Try this one from W. Henry Johnson of Appleton, Wisconsin. How long after breeding would it take for the following animals to be born? From the moment of conception to the time they're born. Let's start with a cow, shall we? Let's get 2 out of 3 on this. How long does it take for a cow to become one?
I guess.
Would you...
I'll make a guess.
Mr. Kieran, yes. Remember that the cows are listening.
Well, be something less than a year.
Well, now that's a pretty rough guess, something less
than
a year.
Well, I mean, it's more than 6 months and something less than a year.
Well, now how about choosing a...
Oh, maybe 10 months or so.
Or so, eh?
A little more than kind.
I don't know.
A little more than kind and less than kin.
Say that. Very good, Mr. Taylor. It's about 9 months. I don't know whether...
Well, a cow comes in fresh every year, unless she gets sick or something like that.
Well, maybe a highly contented cow might take perhaps an extra month or two. I don't know. How about a kangaroo? How long does it take a kangaroo?
I never knew one.
Too long.
Mr.
I believe, would be short.
Yes, that's right. How short?
Well, I suppose a couple of months, maybe 3 months or something, because the kangaroo babies are born very small and they really grow up in the marsupial attachment.
Yes, quite right. But really, it doesn't even take as long as that, John.
What, 6 weeks?
It's going to shock you when I tell you how long it takes for a kangaroo to get there. It takes about 40 days.
That's well, that's long. Better than white mice.
Yes, and they look prettier, too.
Yeah.
They're known as pocket additions when they come up.
Yeah.
How about... Very nice audience. How long does it take a hippopotamus to get born?
Oh, ever so long.
Oh, that's what you'd think that. Mr. Adams, would you like to guess?
Year and a half.
You're just trying to win the hippopotamus vote, Adams, that's all. No, it doesn't take
years. I don't think it does because I think most animals breed within a year.
Yes, most animals do breed within a year, I believe. Guess how long it takes a hippopotamus.
Oh, 7 or 8 months.
That's exactly right. About 7 to 8 months.
Doesn't it take an elephant a much longer time?
An elephant?
2 years.
Yes, two years.
That's what I thought.
You're thinking of something else. I don't think it takes them so much longer, actually, to get born.
Just seems longer.
Yeah. I don't know whether you folks got that or not. It seems to me you got that wrong. And now, Miss Dunn and gentlemen, suppose you try this one from Mrs. Laura Seaman of New York City. This is a musical question, a rather interesting one. You're going to hear 3 Ave Marias played on the piano. But they're different. Can you name the composer of each of them? All called Ave Maria. Let's get 2 out of 3, and let's have the first, Mr. Kahn. I have 3 hands. And Miss Dunn is ceding to Mr. Taylor. Mr. Taylor ceding to Mr. Kieran. Would you all like to yell it at once?
Yes.
Go ahead.
1, 2, 3.
Schubert.
That's right. Schubert's Ave Maria. That was what you said too, Miss Dunn, wasn't it? I just want to give you 1/3 credit on that. Yeah. And now the second Ave Maria, perhaps a little less familiar.
Otello.
Oh, that's quite right, Miss Dunn. Very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. Yes. And the composer, Miss Dunn?
Verdi
is quite right, yes. I guess that's hardly as familiar as the Schubert one, which is the one we hear from childhood on. Did you recognize that,
Miss
Dunn?
Yes, I did.
Beautiful.
And well played, too, wouldn't you say that?
Yes,
Mr. Kahn, well played, Miss Dunn says.
Very well.
Now let's try the third and last. Mr. Adams.
Gounod.
That's right.
Not entirely.
No.
Not entirely. Mr.
Collaboration.
Taylor?
Collaboration.
Pardon? Bach wrote the accompaniment and Gounod wrote the tune.
I know, but it took Adams to guess it. That's very good, Mr. Adams. You could have knocked me over with a crowbar. Bach and Gounod, yes. That gives us 3 Ave Marias out of 3. How about this one from Mrs. Kathleen C. Morris of Los Angeles? What honor or distinction did each of these men refuse? Let's get 2 out of 3. Sir Walter Scott refused a great distinction, Mr. Kieran.
Poet Laureateship of England.
That's quite right. Remember when that was, Mr. Kieran?
Oh, around 1810 or
yes,
something.
Yes, 1813. Who became poet laureate instead of him?
I think it was Southey.
It was Southey. Very good. Why did he refuse it? I don't know the answer.
Oh, he didn't want it, and he thought Southey did want it. As a matter of fact, Southey did.
It ended happily for both of them, then. Now, the famous General William Tecumseh Sherman refused a great honor, Mr. Adams?
The nomination to the presidency.
Yes. What was the famous line with which he
said that if nominated, he would not accept it, and if elected, he would not serve.
Yes. There's no question about what Mr. Sherman, General Sherman, meant.
He did not choose to run.
What distinction did Sinclair Lewis refuse? Mr. Kieran?
Nobel Prize for Literature.
No.
You got that wrong.
No,
okay.
I got it.
The Pulitzer Award.
Pulitzer.
Yes.
Sorry.
That's quite right. I was a slip of the tongue, Mr. Kieran. When was this, Mr. Adams, and for what book?
For Arrowsmith.
Arrowsmith is right. Yes, in 1926. He accepted the Nobel Prize a little later on, a much greater honor, but did refuse the Pulitzer Prize in 1926.
And simply more dough.
There is that difference. Quite true. Quite true. Here's one from George Huttner of Jackson Heights, Long Island. Get 2 out of 3 again. In what play or movie does a prince become a traveling musician? A prince becomes a traveling musician. Mr. Taylor.
The Mikado.
The Mikado. And the name of the prince?
Nanki
Poo. Nanki Poo. Yes, thank you, Mr. Dunn. In what play or movie does a football player take over a dress shop as a business? Miss Dunn.
Roberta.
Roberta, quite right. Who is the... remember the name of the
man?
Yes, you don't have to.
No,
this
I don't.
Isn't part of it. John Kent, he inherits the modiste shop of his Aunt Minnie in Paris. How about a play or movie in which a governor becomes a bartender? the governor becomes a bartender. Now, we have 2 out of 3 on this. Mm. It's a fairly reasonably recent movie, I guess, the last few years. A Preston Sturges picture. Does that make it any easier for any of you, Miss Dunn? Does it come back to you?
I didn't see it.
The Great McGinty?
That's right, Mr. Taylor. Very good. The Great. Yeah. Did you know that all along, Mr. Taylor?
No, it came to me.
The Great McGinty, yes. Preston Sturges' picture with Brian Dunleavy as the McGinty who tells the story as a bartender. He'd once been a governor. How about this one from Guy Diffenbaugh of Tallahassee, Florida? Again, get 2 out of 3. What action is completed in these lines? I'm going to quote 3 lines that are somewhat alike. The first is, the game is done. Mr. Taylor.
I've won, quoth she and whistled thrice.
Very good, whistle, Mr. Taylor. That's quite right. What's it from?
That's it.
Was that you whistling, yeah. Miss Dunn? Usually yeah. The other way, isn't it?
That's from the Rime of the Ancient Mariner.
Yes, the Rime of the Ancient Mariner. And what is happening when that phrase is used?
Three rather unsavory females are gambling.
Dicing for death.
Dicing, right. Yes. That's quite right. How thrillingly you put it, Adams. Here's another quotation. The song is ended. The song is ended. Now, what action is completed there? What, Mr.?
But the memory lingers on.
That's no
melody lingers on.
Melody. Yes. You and the song are gone. The melody lingers on. And what is finished in this song? What is completed, Mr. Kieran?
I don't remember.
No.
The melody lingers on. The words must be over.
Well, perhaps I'm making this
love is over.
Yes, love affair. Who wrote the song? Mr. Taylor?
Oh, some composer.
Well, that's a fine thing for the president of ASCAP.
Well, I don't know the entire catalog.
Oh, it's some mediocre. Irving Berlin. I don't suppose you've ever heard of him, Mr. Taylor.
Who?
Irving Berlin. Man named Berlin. He's a comer, too. How about this? The comedy is ended. What action is completed, Mr. Kieran?
La commedia è finita. That's the last line in...
Pagliacci.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And what's happened?
He's just stabbed his wife.
And her boyfriend.
Yes. Well, I didn't like to clutter it up.
Yes, that's the last words of Canio, as Mr. Curran reminds us. Try this one from Donald Wetmore of Astoria, Long Island. Can you mention 3 literary or song titles that would supply a climber with a place to climb? In other words, titles that mention hill or mountain or eminence of some sort, Mr. Kieran.
There was a play ran here for a long while, very famously, The Ladder.
The Ladder, yes, that's a very good one, sure. Miss Dunn?
A tree grows in Brooklyn.
A tree grows in Brooklyn, yes, by Betty Smith, very good. Can you think of any other title, just one more, that would give us a place to climb or to ascend? Mountains, hills, Mr.
The Social Ladder?
Is that a play?
Oh, did you say a play?
A title of a play.
Play or a book.
You're just making up phrases that you want quoted, Miss Dunn. I can see that. Mr. Kieran?
Jack and the Beanstalk.
Jack and the Beanstalk, a very good one, sure. There's a famous novel by Thomas Mann, The Magic Mountain. Mr. Kieran?
Poe wrote the Balloon Hoax.
Well, you wouldn't climb a balloon, exactly.
Pocketpook's Hill.
Pocketpook's Hill, Mr. Adams?
The Climbers. By Clyde Fitch.
That's right. The Climbers by Clyde Fitch. It wouldn't be a place exactly, but it's pretty good.
Oh, there are a lot of places.
Aren't you shortly, Miss Dunn, to appear in a movie which would have a hill or something in the title? You can mention it if you wish on this program. We're very nice that way.
A hill?
Yeah. Well, not a hill.
A cliff?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the White Cliff.
Yes, the White Cliffs. I love that look of intelligence in your eyes.
Took a lot of spade work to get that out.
I know, but it was nice going, Mr. Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
Try this one for Mrs. Robert B. Steele of Beechwood, New Jersey. Name a German and an American soldier known as the Fox. That is, there were 2 different soldiers, but both had the same, Mr. Kieran.
Rommel? And Marion.
Yes, very
General
good.
General Marion.
Yes, General Marion and
the Revolutionary War.
Revolutionary War. The Swamp Fox, they called him. Rommel was known as what kind of fox?
The Desert Fox.
The Desert Fox. Now, what American and English statesmen are both known as the Great Commoner? Both given the same nickname, as it were, Mr. Adams?
William Jennings Bryan.
Right.
And...
Both the American? The Englishman, Mr. Taylor?
William York Gladstone.
The Great Commoner?
Oh, no.
I don't think so.
No.
Mr. Kieran?
Pitt.
Pitt. Yeah. The first name is right. William Pitt.
Yes.
But you...
Well, of course I meant Pitt.
Well, under certain conditions, Gladstone and Pitt sound so much alike, Mr.
I know.
Now, what place in Europe and also place in America are both known as the Rock? The Rock. Mr. Kieran.
Alcatraz in California, and then the Bay of San Francisco, and Gibraltar.
And Gibraltar, yes. That's quite right. Try this one from Thelma Ritter of Forest Hills, New York. I think we might get all on this. The following actors were members of the cast of an outstanding picture. In each case, an important name is omitted. In other words, I'm going to name most of the famous actors in the cast, but I'm going to leave out one. Who is the one omitted, and what's the name of the picture? Here's the first. Wallace Reed, Mae Marsh, Donald Crisp, Henry B. Walthall. I'm leaving out a famous star. Mr. Taylor.
Lillian Gish.
That's quite right. Lillian Gish.
The Birth of a Nation.
Very good, Mr. Taylor. Lillian Gish, The Birth of a Nation. That goes back quite a bit. Now, how about this one? Alan Jones, Helen Westley, Helen Morgan, and Miss Dunn. Miss Dunn. Who is omitted?
Charlie Wininger.
Charlie Wininger.
In Showboat.
In Showboat, quite right. Now, how about... Here's another set. Vivian Lee, Clark Gable, Leslie Howard. Who's omitted? What's the picture? Mr.
Olivia de Havilland.
Olivia de Havilland. And the picture, Miss Dunn?
Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind. Yes, perhaps that wasn't quite as difficult as it should have been. Try this one from
Fred
Meyer.
Yes, it was. I'm good, that's all.
My golly, I said take it all back, Taylor. It was a tough one. It was tough. Here's one from Fred Myers of Rochester, New York. Get all on this. If you're given the dates of a man's life, can you identify the man? Now, this is a very common problem. I'm just going to give you the dates. Who? 1770 to 1827. The man? 1770 to 1827. Very famous man. Very great man. Mr. Taylor?
It's nice to have seen you.
1770
to 1827.
An American?
No.
Oh.
How much do you want me to give you in the way of hints? a composer. I'm not going to count you right.
Oh, Beethoven. Head.
Beethoven, yes, Mr. Taylor, that's right. You don't want me to give you credit on that, though, do you?
No.
No, all right. How about 356 to 323 B.C.? A short life, but a merry one. 356 to 323 B.C.
I wouldn't remember that.
It is a little before your time.
Yeah.
Mr. Adams. No?
Yes. Before my time, even.
Oh, Julius Caesar.
No.
Mr. Kieran,
no.
Well, all right.
Who did you... What did you say?
Julius Caesar.
No.
This was probably some Greek...
Some Greek boy.
Well, his first name was Alexander. What was his last name?
Oh, yes.
The Great. Alexander the Great, yes. That gives us two wrong out of two. We're doing very well. How about 1706 to 1790? 1706 to 1790. Mr. Kieran.
Benjamin Franklin.
Benjamin Franklin, yes.
One from Mrs. Vernon Robinson of Los Angeles. Identify these mothers-in-law. Her daughter-in-law loved her so much that she traveled about with her. Mr. Taylor.
Naomi.
That's right, Ruth.
Her daughter-in-law was Ruth.
Ruth and Naomi, that's quite right, from the Old Testament. Here's another situation. Her daughter-in-law walked out on her, and her son joined, to his mother's amazement. Miss Dunn, was that your hand going up?
His son, her son joined, did you say?
Mm-hmm.
Joined the daughter.
I think you're probably going to be right on this. Mr.
Was
Adams?
That the stage play?
Yes, it was.
Silver Cord.
The Silver Cord, yes. Mrs. Phelps is the mother of David and the mother-in-law of Christina. How about a case in which a mother-in-law approved of her son-in-law's murder of her guest? A mother-in-law approved of her son-in-law's murder of her guest.
Sounds like Shakespeare.
No, it's by a very good dramatist, but not quite as good as Shakespeare. We have to get this all right. It's Fanny Farrelly and Kurt Mueller in Watch on the Rhine, Miss Hellman's famous play of a couple of years ago. Thank you, Miss Dunn and Mr. Taylor, for joining our party this evening.
Information, Please was presented especially for the American Armed Forces and their allies. Now we present Alfred Wallenstein and the Concert Orchestra.
Thank you.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.